This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast feature review. We're going Oscar styles this week, folks. Here now is our review of The Green Book.
He is Wayne. I am Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome along to our feature review, as Wayne has said. And yes, Green Book took it out. Green Book won the 2019 Oscars for the best film of 2018. I guess we'll get into how we feel about that
exactly
in due course. So, the details of the film, directed by Peter Farrelly, who, of course, is
really
one half of the Farrelly brothers.
He's not.
Who directed
Did he?
Something Like Mary.
Is that Farrelly?
Yeah. What, Kingpin, Me, Myself, and Irene?
I'm kind of impressed
Dumb and
now.
Dumber, I think.
Yeah. This feels good.
Written by Nick Vallelonga, Brian Hayes Curry, and Peter Farrelly. And, of course, Nick Vallelonga is the son of Tony Vallelonga, the character.
I thought I recognized that name.
Yeah. Starring Viggo Mortensen as Tony Lip, Mahershala, Ali, and Linda Cardellini. It runs for 130 minutes. It was a $23 million budgeted film, which puts it at $3.5 million more from memory than The Shape of Water last year. It's made, so far, $150 million just plus around the world.
Wow.
Making it, obviously, a big commercial hit.
Once you get that Oscar, man.
What's it about, Wayne?
This film chronicles the real-life composer and musician Don Shirley and his unlikely bond with his tough guy, chauffeur, and bodyguard Viggo Mortensen during this tour they take.
You mean Tony Lip?
Tony Lip?
Yeah, he's not Viggo Mortensen who's a friend of Don Shirley.
Yeah, Tony Lip or Tony Vallelonga. Yeah. People know what I mean.
Yeah, sure.
So this is their little tour of the segregated Deep South of the early 1960s. The Green Book, for anyone who doesn't know, is a handbook that was created for African-American motorists in the 50s seeking vacation without aggravation. In an indispensable guide, basically lists African-American-friendly places to stay in that racist-ass time. So that's what the movie is about.
There it is.
I have a subtitle for this movie, which I called Planes, Trains, and Automobile Green Book, because that's what this fucking movie is a little bit to me. Let me just tell you.
Apart from being a really shit joke.
I think this is fucking Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Yes, it's a shit joke.
For the 2000s.
It's, yes, but not the funny
it's
version.
It's set in 62. I'll say it's not much. I mean, it's comedic moments, some of which
No, it's nothing like that. But like, there's a lot about this movie that hit those same beats. It's like,
okay.
But please, you tell me what you think.
Best picture winner, huh?
Yes! That's the problem, isn't it? This is a good movie.
It's fine.
It's fine to
with problems.
I think it's fine to good, right?
Our listener base, our fans have sort of spoken about this in our Facebook listener community.
Yep.
Check it out if you want to get involved in the discussions. The link's in the show notes. Some of them were aghast that this film won. Some of them were very, very pleased. So it seems to be a very polarizing film.
What I would say was it's a disadvantage that I knew it was the best picture winner when I saw it.
Yep.
Maybe if I'd seen it just in some place, this is okay. I mean, it's a very specific type of movie. It's Driving Miss Daisy, kind of. It's kind
another
of,
Academy Award winning film.
You know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of formula. But
Driving Miss Daisy was 1990 or somewhere around there.
Yeah, but it's
we are 28 years
it's
later.
It's the reversed version of Driving Miss Daisy, which is why it's. But like I'm saying, it's not a new story. You know, the road trip and
but how many news, how many new stories are there these days?
There aren't, which is why I would say that this is not. This is good, well-produced, really good to watch. I liked a lot of the scenes in it, but it's not groundbreaking or...
Absolutely not.
You know what I mean? Like, it's... and maybe Oscar noms don't need to be that way, but they typically... There's something new about them, and that's why they... I don't know what happened here. This is like political or something.
Well, officially, the Academy considers it to be... But it seems that we somewhat disagree.
You know, I gotta say, initially I was watching Viggo Mortensen's performance of this Guido fired, like, wise guy, family man slash dude, and I was trying to decide whether he's hamming it up or not, because he's like, hey, yo, whoa, and he's doing the thing with the fingers and, you know, like, all that shit, and
sure.
I'm like, but as it went on, it became more natural, and it became easier for me to accept, like, his thing.
Yeah.
He was very Italian-ish.
Yeah. Like, but I guess the guy was very Italian.
Mortensen, isn't he like a...
No,
oh,
character.
Right, okay.
Tony, again, once again, we're having trouble distinguishing between character and actor here.
Well, which, I didn't know what you were saying.
Yeah. I think he was very good. I think Mahershala Ali was excellent as well.
No, he's the balls.
Yeah, it also makes you think, weep for how little he had to do and how bad he was in Alita Battle
Angel. Oh my god! You can see how these like the schedule is rocked. It's like you obviously did that years ago or something.
I don't think so.
Really?
I just think it's a little bit like if we go back to the classic film Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah.
I think it's that discussion that Matt Damon and Ben Affleck have in that film, which is you got to do the safe film, and then the risky film.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's a paycheck film, Alita Battle Angel.
Totally.
Green Book. There's no way he got paid the same amount for that.
Nope. But he's
$23 million budget. But he would have a nice chunk of change, I'm sure.
And Hammer Time exposure.
And now he's a 2-time Oscar winner for his performance as Dr. Don Shirley.
That's right. He won't be doing any more Daredevil episodes now.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, I think you meant Luke Cage.
Oh, Luke Cage?
Yeah, he was in the first season, Luke Cage.
Shit, you're right. Luke Cage, you definitely won't be doing that shit canceled.
Well, no, all those shows are canceled, so they are gone. I think the two performances really buoy this film. I bought their back and forth. I enjoyed their exchange. I liked the fact they came to respect each other and their respective worlds more.
It's fine.
But...
Yeah.
But... I have problems with what some people have called the white messiah complex here, where it takes a white man, a white Italian-American man, to show an African-American man about his heritage, which was a little icky.
You mean with the chicken?
Yeah. That chicken scene is the worst scene in the film by a long way.
Okay, hang on a sec, because I don't know that I was as offended. I was watching this scene and I'm going, because is it wrong of me to go, of course you've had chicken, you're black. Like, you know what I mean? Is that why you're uncomfortable as an audience member? You're like, am I supposed to not buy this and then I'm racist? Or is it, you know what I mean? Like, is it that the thing?
I think for me, it's like, well, it's not up to someone else to show you whether chicken is good or not. You know, it's like, you get to make that up yourself.
But having said that, if anyone, black, white, red, whatever, said, look at this chicken, try this fucking chicken, it's awesome. And then you do, and it is awesome because chicken is awesome. And then...
Yes.
Then there's nothing wrong with that, so I don't see that it's necessarily...
And they do, what the commentators or the criticisms I've seen about the film haven't really emphasized is there is a back and forth in this that Shirley is showing him how to be a better husband.
Yes.
As well, and that's not really... The criticisms haven't pointed out that it works both ways to a degree.
So, exactly. Well, if they're learning about each other, I know what you're saying.
I guess one is racially based.
Yes.
The other one is just human based.
Yes.
So maybe that's more okay.
But I think you could argue that the racially based thing is human based. If you are, because he talks about in this, Mahershala Ali talks about how he doesn't even fit in with his own people.
Shirley. Dr. Shirley, yes.
Dr. Shirley, right? That guy. He doesn't fit in with his own people. So he says, well, I don't fit in with the white people. They don't like me. And my own people don't like me. Who the fuck am I? Right?
That was after the chicken scene.
Yeah, but it's okay. I think the chicken scene is fine. That's me.
I didn't like it.
Really? Interesting.
And I thought some of the humor, I don't know, it was hard to watch some of these scenes, some of the blatantly, I mean, deliberately so, racist scenes where, you tell yourself, oh, 1962, so that's how things were back then, and that's okay. Except it takes a better film, and I do believe Black Klansman is a better film, to show you with a really powerful gut punch at the end that racism still exists.
Absolutely. But, I mean, that's playing a slightly different game, I think, with that one, but because it actually tells you right now it's still happening. You know.
Yeah, but that's the point. This is a feel-good film, and should we be feeling good about this kind... We're getting really serious. This is about as serious we ever get on this fucking show. Should we be feeling good about this kind of thing? Like, oh, they've grown together, they're best mates. And this is the other thing. We'll get to that point in a minute. Whereas a film like Black Klansman is played quite lightly, lots of laughs in that movie. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
And, you know, deliberately so. And then it kind of goes, ends on the note where it does. And then, bam, cut to riots from 2 years ago.
Okay, well, just to direct for a second. For Black Klansman, there's a little issue with that where I think it was one movie until the end. And Spike Lee just went, okay, now to throw all artfulness and everything out the window and just tell you, here's an upside down American flag. Boom. Here's a fucking this. Here's, you know, like, completely out of step with the rest of the movie. And I'm like, that's shit. You have to make it artful. It's a movie.
You and I don't know what it is about you and Spike Lee and you and, what's his name? Director Training Day.
Oh, fucking.
Antoine Fuqua.
Antoine Fuqua.
I don't know what it is about your hatred towards.
These
not hatred,
motherfuckers need to learn some subtlety.
Anyway. Yeah, so I think if you wanted to line up these films to... It's a hard film to spoil. It's not like there's great
I don't think there's a... Yeah, it's not... I don't even think we need to do a spoiler thing. Let's just talk about this, right? At the end, all right?
No, don't talk about
it. All right, fuck. All right, shit.
Don't do that. Then that is a spoiler section.
All right, well, basically... Oh, sorry, I'll say it this way then. Like you said, there's a back and forth, all right? at the beginning, Viggo Mortensen is blatantly racist yep. with his Guido friends and whatnot, right? Mm. Which is also racist.
I was going to say now that you put it that way.
I don't really understand that shit, but
Italian American,
fine, okay. So, and then at the end, he's like, "Hey, you know, like he basically becomes a different guy, sort of." And his wife recognizes that he's no longer a racist because he's just basically more worldly now, or whatever. I think that it's cool and everything, but that's why it makes me think of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, because that's what happened at the end of that movie.
Okay,
all right. So for me, this is. There's nothing.
There are some similarities. I'm not knocking it.
No. And I think I had a better time in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, to be honest with you. So.
It's a different shtick. Like, that one, that's a straight out comedy.
Yeah, and this one is actually a drama. Some social commentary.
With comedy infused in it. The thing I was leading to earlier, which is therefore worth mentioning now, is that the Shirley family have denounced this film.
Oh, really? Why?
They basically claim that they were never that good of friends. They became lifelong friends. So. What the film?
The film actually says that they did.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So there's all this controversy around this film, and yet the Academy chose to just ignore all that and just roll with it.
When you're making a movie, you got to stretch the truth. You got to play with the words. If I was the producer and said, "Hey, man, are they still friends?" Not really. Listen, they're not friends, right? It would be a cool ending to this movie if we said that these crackers all made friends and shit. That'd be cool.
I'm not sure crackers. Anyway, the other thing which bothered me a lot is, so I'd read about the film and I understood that Dr. Shirley was a homosexual as well.
Yep.
And yet there's one scene in the film, which to Tony Lip's credit, he says, well, that doesn't bother me. I've got no one way or the other people can choose.
That was a really great scene in the film.
It was a good scene, but it, again, very much glossed over it, a la Bohemian Rhapsody.
But now, hang on. Okay, so he's gay. So what, right? But like, I remember being at that time, at that place.
Sure.
It wouldn't be advertised anyway. So you probably would not refer to it in polite conversation. You'd have to have a scene where something was like that.
Yeah, the fact it was 1 3-minute scene. And
well, maybe that's his sexuality is as unimportant to him as that. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, yeah, so I'm gay, so what? I'm actually a musician. That makes more sense.
He talks about being married at some point and that not working out and da-da-da-da. So there was,
he did, that's right.
Yeah, I don't know. I just felt like it was very, very like, whoop, done. Almost like Freddie Mercury walking into the men's toilets and kissing one bloke on the lips once and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I think that because the movie is basically, like you said, there's one scene of it, Tony there, he basically takes care of the situation, and then it's like, it's lingered on for a little bit, and then it's gone. I don't know. I mean, if it became like, oh, and he's also a homosexual and a black man, that would piss me off or something, so I think I'm okay with the way they did it.
Whereas for me, we are sugarcoating things now in certain ways.
Oh, yeah, but like, it's got to be an enjoyable movie, man. If it's too harsh, I won't like it. That's right! This thing won the Oscar. I think it did something right.
Well, clearly it did. But look, the good thing, let's talk about some of the good stuff to wrap it up.
Sure.
I really enjoyed watching Ali play the piano.
So dude, Shirley, I went and looked it up.
Because a couple of times I'm like, does he actually play?
I looked it up.
Because he looks phenomenally good.
As soon as I saw it, I went, holy shit, if he's doing that, this is through the roof, this movie, right? Turns out there was this guy named Chris Bowers who composed the film score and he doubled Ali's piano playing. So this is a bit like, there's a movie called Crossroads with the Karate Kid in it, right? Where Steve Vai actually played the guitar, but Ralph Macchio actually learned to ghost it, and he did the right chords. That's what Mahershala Ali is doing.
So he learned
those. He learned scales for like 9 hours a day for a bit, but he basically, he did learn where to place his fingers.
Because there are camera shots where it's just, it's him.
Yeah.
It's no one else.
No.
And for a $23 million budget, we don't have the budget here to be like, you know,
CGI putting his head on and shit like that. I know.
And to that level where it looks so perfect.
Exactly.
And I mean, I don't play the piano. So don't get me wrong. Like, I've got no real idea. Maybe a pianist would go, it's crap.
Oh, no. It's still hard to learn where to put your fingers at the right cues and at the right moments, right? But to actually get the pressure and the feeling and the play to make it sound like a professional's playing it is much harder.
Okay, I see.
But he did actually learn to put his piano, like he learned to look like he could play the piano.
Yeah, it looks great.
And it was amazing.
So those scenes are great. I thought the music was great.
The music was fantastic.
Very, very good. I enjoyed although I kind of glossed over it, but I liked the way that he handled Tony Lip handled the wise guys when they kept coming back into the picture effectively. That was a good moment. I really enjoyed the scene where they do wind up in a jail and how they get out of that. Well, that was good. Again, being vague for spoilers.
That was excellent. There's a letter writing scene, which was in the trailer, where he's Dr. Shirley is teaching
Tony
to write to his wife. Mm-hmm. And he's getting back and forth. And he's like, I don't know, the whole thing is like, it's okay if I sign off P.S. Kiss the Kids, right? perfect. You know, the, all good shit. Shit like that. I'm like, all right, well, these guys, that was, those were the cool scenes for me.
So there were some good moments in the film. There were. Look, all right, that's pretty much where I stand on the film. I didn't hate it. I don't think it's the best film of 2018 by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
So I do see the disappointment. It's better than Crash. I don't.
Oh, fuck. Crash.
People saying
sucks.
This is worse than Crash. I think you
no
just.
Way.
Whoa,
no,
just,
no. Hold your horses, mate.
Yeah, we're not even talking about the David Cronenberg disgraceful
oh,
car
right.
crash run. I'm talking about the Academy Award.
I was talking about that one. Oh. I fucking hate that movie.
Oh, talking about the Paul Haggis Academy Award winning.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yes. That makes more sense. But geez,
oh, God. Give us your final score, Wayne.
My final score is 69.
Dudes. I'm giving us a 60.
60. Yeah, about right. About right. Again, in terms of are we recommending this or not, are you recommending this?
Yeah, I guess I am. I don't.
I am
sort of.
You know what?
Sort of.
Because to me, if a movie passes, that's still not a recommend.
Oh, well, in that case, maybe not.
Yeah, a recommend is, dude, you got to see this,
nah,
right?
No.
Yeah, so it's not
absolutely
that, right?
Not.
Yeah, me neither. But it's you won't be offended if you see it.
Well, you might be.
Okay.
That seems to be the case.
If you're a Pollyanna bitch, you might. But if you otherwise, you'll be fine.
Sorry to our listeners who didn't like the film. All right, that is it for this week's feature review. Thank you for tuning in and hearing our thoughts about this year's Academy Award winner. You can write to us with your thoughts on how we went at the Countdown Podcast.
At gmail.com,
on Twitter at the Countdown PC, or you can hit us up in the aforementioned Facebook listener community. All right, that's it for this week's feature review.
Fantastic. Till next time, folks. My name's Wayne.
My name's Paul, and this has been The Soundboard.
Ooh, that's a
fuck
bingo.
Off. I really hate this one. This is shit. Actually, I hate them all. Fuck you.
I'm sorry. See you next time.